Hello, welcome to episode 20 of the Half Court Podcast. We are now past the trade deadline in the NBA. That's going to be the main focus of everything today, walking through everybody that got traded, walking through who didn't get traded, and then looking forward to the buyout market and what's going to happen in the upcoming months and the playoffs in the NBA. So let's get started. I'm looking at a list of Woj tweets that basically talk about exactly what happened on trade deadline day. So it starts off talking about Aaron Gordon and how he literally got asked in a reporter press conference. They're like, do I get traded? And he didn't necessarily just say no. So that kind of started the day off. And then there was news about John Collins, who we've talked about earlier on this podcast, the Atlanta forward. He said he wanted to stay in Atlanta, but he knew he might be on the move. And then there was news that JaVale McGee was getting shopped. So just kind of talking about who's getting moved. Then we found out that Boston was trying to make a deal for Aaron Gordon or Harrison Barnes, obviously. Boston's looking for a forward in this situation. But Sacramento looked like they wanted to keep Harrison Barnes. So Harrison Barnes stayed put in Sacramento. The Timberwolves had no plans to entertain offers for Edwards, Russell, or Towns. So the big three in Minnesota stayed together. Norman Powell was also getting shopped around by Toronto, as well as Kyle Lowry all at once. And then pictures came out from the night before that Kyle Lowry was giving peace signs to cameras, as if it was his final game for the Raptors. And then the first trade of the day, the Kings sent a 2021 second-round pick that was originally from the Lakers and their 2024 second-round pick to get D'Lon Wright, and the Pistons were getting Corey Joseph as well. So overall for the teams, I'd like to move for the Kings. The second-rounders aren't going to be much. D'Lon Wright, I think, is a good backup guard. Even can play two with De'Aaron Fox. And then it looks like the Pistons are just trying to – that's the beginning of the Pistons rebuild. I mean, they've been in a rebuild forever. So then the Kyle Lowry news saga continued. The Lakers, Sixers, and Heat were all seriously engaged in engaging with Kyle Lowry and trading Kyle Lowry. And for those three teams, the Lakers, obviously, they would move Dennis Schroeder to the bench where he's played a lot of time. And that would even make their team even better. They probably need that next step even now the Nets have Harden. So you can see why that would be appealing for them. Sixers, same note. You just need to take that next step. And then the Heat, they're trying to get to the final step because they already made the finals, and they're really just trying to, you know, become that elite tier teams with the Bucks, the Nets, and the Lakers. So then what happened next is the Cleveland Cavaliers finalized a deal to send JaVale McGee to the Denver Nuggets. So this is JaVale McGee's third team in less than 5 months. Denver acquired McGee, Hardenstein, and two protected second-round picks. Cleveland acquired a 2027 unprotected second-round pick, a 2023 second-round pick. Good move for the Nuggets. They did need a backup big. Real rim protector, they're kind of lacking that, so I think that's a good move for them. And then the real big news of, like, successful trades happened. The Magic were not hesitant at all to talk about Nikola Vucevic, who is having a career year right now. We talk about him enough. He's averaging 25 and 12. But they did continue to listen to offers on Vucevic and Aaron Gordon. So the Magic were really trying to shop everybody. And then Orlando got the substantial trade package that they wanted. The Bulls, they got Nikola Vucevic and Alfred Camino. And they gave up Otto Porter, Wendell Carter, two first-round picks. And then Woj said that the Bulls were still in pursuit of Lonzo Ball. But let's just talk about that for a second. Let's just talk about the Bulls. Nikola Vucevic, obviously, is a top... I would say he's definitely a top 10 center. He's arguably a top 5 center. Averaging 25 and 12. He gives them spacing. But is that really what the Bulls needed? The Bulls weren't a team that needed offense. And we've talked about them, Wendell Carter being one of their best defenders. They have guys that can score the ball. Zach LaVine can score. Kobe White can get a bucket. Larry Markkinen is solid. But, like, you don't have a rim protector at all now that Wendell Carter is gone. Like, Daniel Gafford isn't that. As good as Nikola Vucevic is, he's not the player they needed, especially when you're giving up two first-round picks. I don't think I would have done that if I was the Bulls. Look, you're sitting at the 10 seed right now. You're trying to get a play-in spot. I think with Nikola Vucevic, now you're going to make the playoffs. But you're really betting on Patrick Williams developing. Because if you go Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, Larry Markkinen, and Nikola Vucevic, who isn't really that old. I mean, he's 30, but centers can play a little bit longer than guards can. you're really putting money that Patrick Williams is going to be an elite defender, because other four guys there are not good. So if the Bulls obviously are trying to make a move for the future and the right now, I don't think that Nikola Vucevic was the guy, and I think they could have waited another year, maybe for Karl-Anthony Towns, who's younger and has a higher defensive ceiling. But for the Magic, it's a great deal. I think Otto Porter is, you're just not going to re-sign him. He just make the contracts match. Wendell Carter's a solid big man. You already have Mo Bamba, who's not shown any potential. So now you have two, I think they're from the same draft class. You have two big men that are supposed to have potential. So I think Wendell Carter's probably going to end up being there for a long time. Him next to Jonathan Isaac next year is a good defensive pairing. The Magic did the opposite here. They got defense. And then two first-round picks. When you're giving up your franchise star and the best player on your team, you're definitely going to want to build for the future. So two first-round picks had to be done. And with that being said, the Magic set themselves up for a rebuild. Markelle Fultz is obviously injured. Jonathan Isaac is injured. They're going to try and get a good pick this year and retool next year. So the only guy left that really had any value, Aaron Gordon, of course, still being shopped. So the next thing that happened, the Knicks emerged as front runners to trade for Evan Fournier, while Boston also remained in the link, or in the, link to the situation. 3 hours plus were left in this trade deadline. So this is, everything's happening kind of quick at this. It's 11:20 p.m. or a.m., sorry. So Evan Fournier, obviously, another piece in Orlando that has value that I just forgot about. Evan Fournier and Aaron Gordon, Magic are really trying to get everybody out. They're three stars for, I'm using air quotes, but they're really trying to shop everybody. And then 10 minutes later, he was gone. Boston acquired Evan Fournier for 2 second-round picks, sources said. And then it came out that, let's just talk about that. Boston getting Evan Fournier is a huge deal. Obviously, they have enough wing depth. Marcus Smart's more of a guard. Fournier can play 1-2-3. You have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They didn't get the big man they wanted. Obviously, you have Tristan Thompson, Robert Williams, and Daniel Theis, who are solid enough. Or Theis isn't there. Who are solid enough, but not really. Evan Fournier is going to be a guy that I think should come off the bench. I would go Kemba, Marcus Smart. Evan Fournier could be that sixth man. Again, the teams at the top right now, I think, made good moves. Boston really, really securing a real shot at the East. I mean, they had a shot, obviously. But now that they have that real six man, I don't think anybody else in the East really has that. You could make an argument for the Nets, like Blake Griffin, or the guy we're going to talk about later. But nobody else really has that real spark plug off the bench in the East. Maybe Tyrese Maxey or for Philadelphia. But Evan Fournier is definitely the best bench player in the East now. Best bench scorer in the league, I would say. So good move for Boston, in my opinion. They're not giving up much. Fournier's been a solid guy in his career. He's obviously shown potential to get real hot. Not kind of like a Terrence Ross, but not quite to that extent. But I think Evan Fournier is a really good player. He's averaging 20 points this year, 4 assists. Not going to average that for Boston. I'd see probably drop to 15, going to lose some shots. But he has been relatively efficient, 39% from deep. So good move for Boston. So moving on to the day, 30 minutes later, the Trailblazers are no longer in the hunt for Aaron Gordon. I mean, if they had got him, I think that would have been a great move. But where would he have started? I mean, you play Robert Covington at 3, Aaron Gordon 4. But again, they need defense. Aaron Gordon isn't that guy. Nuggets are saying, quote, smart money. This is from Mike Singer to acquire. That is in the sense that I've gotten talking to people last night and this morning. So the Nuggets are they're really just trying to be, they're trying to look at every option here with Aaron Gordon trading. And then it was done. The Magic had got rid of all three of their players. Denver acquired Aaron Gordon as the Heat and Minnesota and Houston had jumped in that mix. In the trade, Denver sent a protected 2025 first-round pick, and Orlando got Gary Clark. And then the official trade ended up being Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, first-round pick to the Magic for Aaron Gordon. So let's unravel that. For the Magic, the rebuild is continuing. You got Wendell Carter. You got 2 seconds for Fournier. You got Gary Harris, who I think is a solid enough player. I thought when he was... A couple years ago with the Nuggets when they were a really young team. Obviously, we know I'm a Nuggets. I like watching the Nuggets play. I thought he really had some potential. In 2017, he averaged 18 points when he was 23. And you're like, okay, he's going somewhere. But now he's 26 and he's averaging 10 points a game. So Gary Harris is not too big of a piece. RJ Hampton, however, I think he was a late first, maybe a second. But he's performed well for Denver this year. He's obviously a rookie, but I mean, he's a 6'4 guard. I mean, he's not a bad player to have for sure. And then a first rounder. So you ended up getting three first rounds in the day, including the two from, Vucevic. So good move for the Magic. Again, I think it was smart for at the deadline to retool, because next year you're going to get back your franchise player, Jonathan Isaac, hopefully somebody you can build on Markel Fultz. And then you're praying for that number one pick to get Cade Cunningham. And then you have all these firsts and you're set up well. So I think the Magic are doing a really good job here. As in for Denver right now is sitting at fifth in the conference at 27-18. They're well within striking distance of the two seed. This is the move they needed to make. This is perfect. I don't think there could have been a better move they could have made. The only one that ended up giving one first round pick, obviously two pieces that they kind of need. But Aaron Gordon is an athletic player who has a little bit of a jump shot, and I think he's going to play extremely well off of Nikola Vucevic. Nikola Jokic. They give Jokic the ball at the high post all the time on the block. He's looking for guys to cut, to spot up. Aaron Gordon does that well. He's going to fit into transition with Jamal Murray. I like Aaron Gordon as a player. I think he also has the ability. They like it, so whoever gets the rebound can bring the ball up the court. Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic, doesn't matter. He can do it. He's averaging 15 points this year, shooting 38% from deep. Great player, 6'8", 235. So in the playoffs, what they can do is they could run him at the 4, Jokic at the 5. I think that gives him a lot of not athleticism per se, but Gordon provides enough athleticism to hide Jokic's lack of athleticism. So Jokic is more of a smart guy. He knows where to be, knows the position. Aaron Gordon can be in the positions that Nikola Jokic can't be. So I think that's great for them. Good deal for both sides. So the Bulls and the Wizards, they made another deal. Washington sent Troy Brown and Mo Wagner to Chicago for Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson. So there went all the rim protection for Chicago. Troy Brown also is an ex first round pick. And then Mo Wagner obviously is also, I think, a late first round pick from the Lakers a couple years ago. Wagner is solid. He's a big man that can space the floor. So it's not a horrible move. But I don't know why they're giving up on Daniel Gafford. Obviously he's a top 10 pick. Yeah, Troy Brown is in his fourth season. No. He's in his third season. Yeah, his third season, he averaged 10.5 last year for Washington. 15th pick 2 years ago. He has potential. Chandler Hutchinson really had no potential. I don't like the move for the Bulls. I would have kept Daniel Gafford, but it is what it is, to be fair. So at 1 o'clock on the trade deadline, so we're really wrapping it up. The Kings traded Nemanja Bjelica to the Heat in exchange for Mo Harkless and Chris Silva. For the Heat, Nemanja Bjelica kind of fits that mold of what Myers Leonard would do for their team, minus the racism. So I think he's a good floor spacing big, plays next to Bam well. He's definitely a good shooter. That's what they brought him in to do. I think he can do that well. And then for the Kings, getting Mo Harkless and Chris Silva, I mean, it's not the worst move. Mo Harkless is just going to be out of there soon. I wouldn't be surprised to see him bought out. Chris Silva, however, in his second season, he showed a little bit of potential. He's 24. He does his thing, you know what I mean? He's averaging 3 points a game, but the Kings maybe see some potential in him, so I don't hate it for the Kings. Thunder traded George Hill to the Sixers. Good move for the Sixers and the Thunder. Thunder going to load up on some more picks. The Sixers get a veteran point guard. I love it for the Sixers. George Hill is definitely a winner. Other than the fact that he sold the finals a couple years ago. He was the one that missed the free throw that J.R. Smith rebounded. But yeah, good move for the Sixers. Definitely makes them a better team. And then the biggest deal for the Trailblazers and the Raptors here wasn't for Kyle Lowry. The Raptors sent Norman Powell to the Trailblazers in exchange for Gary Trent and Rodney Hood. For the Raptors, you're getting Norman Powell out of there, who I think... I really like Norman Powell as a player. Obviously, he played at UCLA. Norman Powell was great for the Raptors, a big part of that championship run. And this season, he's been really good. I think he's probably one of the most underrated players in the league. But he averaged for the season, he averaged 20 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 50% from the field, 45% from deep. Amazing splits. Definitely an underrated player. 6'3", kind of undersized to play three over there, next to McCollum and Lillard, but we'll see what they do. But he's definitely a solid piece, and he's going to play that Rodney Hood role, and he's way better than Rodney Hood. Gary Trent for the Raptors is going to be great. Trent, I don't think, fit into the long-term plans of what Portland was trying to do. But he's averaging 15 points this season. He's had a breakout year. He's shooting 40% from deep. I think long-term, he's going to be the two-guard for them next to Fred VanVleet at the one. So once Kyle Lowry's out of there, I think it's going to be a better situation for them. So I like what the Raptors did. I love what the Trailblazers did. They're currently sitting at sixth in the West. Because everybody in the West, I think there's good 7-8 teams in the West that really, like, could... It's almost like March Madness in the West. There's a lot of good teams in the West. So you got to just... You got to gear up. So good move for the Blazers. George Hill ended up turning into a three-team trade about 15 minutes later. The Sixers acquired Hill and Ignas Perdikas, and the Thunder acquired Tony Bradley, Austin Rivers, who is doesn't matter in this because it doesn't matter to them. Two future seconds. And then the Knicks acquired Terrence Ferguson. So Knicks snuck in there, got Terrence Ferguson. Definitely not mad at that. Good move for them. So then a 125, only 10 minutes later, the Warriors emerged as possible trade destination for Danny Green. As a Laker fan, mixed emotions about Danny Green, helped us win a championship, but obviously missed some big shots. But regardless, he is a great 3-and-D player. It's exactly what he does. He'll shoot the ball. He'll play defense. He won't try and do anything else. That's what he needs. So the Warriors obviously were trying to get an option. The Warriors were always trying to sneak in there, get a player, like a worse version of Klay Thompson, to be honest. But that deal had to be put on pause, as Woj then tweeted out, that Toronto traded Matt Thomas to the Utah Jazz for a future second. I love that for the Jazz. Absolutely love it. Matt Thomas is one of the best shooters in the entire league. And the way the Jazz play, they're shooting a lot of threes. They're absolutely launching threes. And when you have a guy that's really just a spot up to do his job, perfect. Shoots 40% from three when basically all he does is shoot threes. Giving up a second from Utah, worth it for sure. I like that. I like that move a lot for Utah because, like, we're just talking about the West. They're the front runners in the West right now. So you're adding pieces to get better. Love that. And then Rajon Rondo got sent right back to LA like 4 months later. So the Hawks and Clippers were in serious talks to send Rajon Rondo to the Clippers. And then the deal ended up being for Rondo, for Lou Williams, 2 second-round picks, and some cash. No third team. I don't love the deal for the Clippers. Like, Rondo's a good piece, right? You have Reggie Jackson. Rondo's definitely going to help because Rondo turns it up in the playoffs. He's an elite playoff player, playoff Rondo. He's proven he can win a championship. So it's not the worst move, but Lou Williams was your spark off the bench. Like, he's Lou Williams, right? He's the sixth man of the year, one of the greatest six men of all time. You shouldn't need to give up 2 second-round picks in that. Like, you could have, at max, it should have been one plus cash. I think they overpaid for him. And I don't think Rondo really pushes them over the top in the West. So, I'm not a huge fan of that deal. With 15 minutes left of the deadline, so 2:45 Eastern, Brian Windhorst talked to the Raptors, and Kyle Lowry. Basically, they were saying that they needed a substantial offer, kind of like the Nikola Vucevic situation. And then Toronto traded Terrence Davis to Sacramento for a second-round pick. So what it looked like was happening was Toronto was making room for players, like more roster spots, to make a big deal to like pull in 4 or 5 players for a Lowry trade. So we're like, okay, this is what's happening. But right before the deadline, came out that Lonzo Ball wasn't going to get traded, so the Bulls couldn't put anything together. Again, I would have been trying to shop Eric Bledsoe if I was the Pelicans, not Lonzo Ball, because I think Lonzo Ball's been really solid, and like people think of him as a bad shooter because of his rookie year, but he's developed a lot. So I'm good with that for the Pelicans. Then, right after that, like literally, what is this, a minute later, the Pelicans sent J.J. Redick to the Dallas Mavericks. Again, we're going to talk about the West again, but the teams in the West, you got to make small moves that you think can be end up winning you a championship. So J.J. Redick for the Mavericks, great. You're running a lot of pick and rolls with Luka and Kristaps Porzingis. You need guys to get out there, hit their shots. J.J. Redick is the epitome of that. He's going to hit his shots. So at 3:05, trade deadline's over. Andre Drummond could not get traded. Nobody wanted him, obviously. So the Cavs worked out a buyout, and I'll get more into the buyout market in a second. Kyle Lowry stayed, and then the news came out 15 minutes after, but the official trade had already been done. The biggest trade of the day. Victor Oladipo to Miami for Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and a draft swap. What is Houston doing? Like, we got to talk about this for a second. Houston traded James Harden, their franchise player, one of the best players to ever play for their franchise. And the big piece they got, obviously they got a lot of first-round picks, but the big main player they got was Victor Oladipo. Trading him only a month later for two role players and a draft swap? Come on. Come on, Houston. You got to do better. Though Houston is in a dumpster fire right now. It is horrible. They are 13-32. I cannot see what Houston was doing here. You cannot tell me that you could. I understand that Victor Oladipo wasn't going to re-sign. He wasn't going to re-sign, right? And you're not trying to win games. I think that's pretty apparent. You did have to get rid of him. You had to. But you don't need Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk from the Heat. Like, there had to have been a team with more cap space. I haven't looked at it, but I'm assuming that would have given you maybe two first-round picks for Victor Oladipo. Because Victor Oladipo is not a bad player. So, for the Rockets, Avery Bradley is... Like, he's a good player, but you're trying to lose games. Avery Bradley is a winning-type player. He's a role player on a good team. So, I don't see how that helps them. Kelly Olynyk is also just an average player. He's a big man that's going to do nothing. I mean, he can play next to Christian Wood, all right. I don't think he is heir for the long term. And then you basically just getting a draft swap for your arguably your best player. So dumb. For Miami, amazing. So anytime one team gets finessed, the other team's probably going to win this. Now you're running with Kendrick Nunn, Goran Dragic, Victor Oladipo, Jimmy Butler, Andre Iguodala, Trevor Ariza, whoever you want to play at that four, and then Bam Adebayo. So you're running three All-Stars now. I love it. I think Oladipo and Butler next to each other are going to be insane defensively. Obviously, this rumor was talked about a lot in the offseason with the Pacers trading Oladipo to Miami. But Oladipo gets what he wants. Miami, they've resurged in the West, obviously, or the East. They've started really bad, but they're not really in a great spot right now. They're sitting in eighth. But they're only two games back from the four seed. So I think Victor Oladipo really does put them into that 4-5 seed range for sure. I mean, we've been saying that forever now. But yeah. Some deals that trickled in late, obviously, at the end. Brad Watermaker got traded to the Hornets. Whatever, who cares, to be honest. Like, this is an NBA podcast. I guess I can break it down a little bit. The Warriors are getting rid of some cap space. The Hornets are actually contending in the East right now. They're fourth, and they're obviously missing their star player, LaMelo Ball, for a long stretch of time. So they're getting a point guard. Warriors traded Marquise Chris to the Spurs. He got cut right there. So yeah, the Spurs released Marquise Chris to create roster space. So Warriors are trying to clear space again. Celtics traded Daniel Tice to the Bulls in exchange for Mo Wagner. So they kind of stuck into that three-team trade. Good trade for the Celtics. You get a floor-spacing big man. I mean, Tice is kind of that, but I think Mo Wagner does it better. Whatever for the Bulls. And then the Pelicans deal ended up being J.J. Redick, Nico Melling to the Mavericks in exchange for James Johnson, Wes Iwundu, and a second-round pick. So for the Pelicans, a second round pick. That's cool. I think J.J. Redick was out of there after the year. LaMarcus Aldridge then proceeded to get bought out. So if you don't know what a buyout is, obviously it's when a player can't get traded and the team doesn't want him, but the player doesn't want to be there because he wants to go say win a championship or something. So what they do is they meet the contract is too large to trade him. That's the real problem here. So say like somebody's making $20 million and they're worth like $5 million. The player is not going to just give up money and leave. Like, he's not going to cut himself. So what they do is they negotiate it. So it's like, okay, I want to go. So I'll give back $5 million to the team. So you can pay me $15 million instead of $20 million and I'll leave. They negotiated that with the LaMarcus Aldridge for the Spurs. He got bought out. And then the next day, LaMarcus Aldridge signed with the Brooklyn Nets. Now, not a big fan of Blake Griffin at this point in his career. He's a below average player. He's definitely a bench player. People got really excited when Blake Griffin signed with them and they called it a super team. He's not a super team with Blake Griffin. LaMarcus Aldridge, however, is definitely a capable power forward still. He's a starter level player. 14 points this year, five boards. Yes, he's 35, but he can stretch the floor, 36% from three. He's an elite scorer in the mid range. He knows how to run a pick and roll when you have guys like James Harden and Kyrie Irving. I love the move for the Nets. I think it even propels them further into being the favorite in the East. They're still lacking defense, but I don't really know how you stop the Nets. So I love that move for the Nets, but I don't get the people comparing it to the Warriors team. It's not on that level. They're not going to be that good. If the Lakers lose to them or the Bucks lose to them, you can't just be like, oh, KD formed a super team. No. They would have beat you like with a normal team. They're good. They're just a good team. They're not a super team, in my opinion. Well, let's be clear. It's a super team because you have two MVP players and the guy that hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history. That's what makes it a super team. But it doesn't have necessarily super team role players. Bruce Brown's solid. LaMarcus Aldridge is solid. But it's not like you have Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, like, on role players. Like, it's not quite to that extent. But yeah, the Nets are far and away the favorite in the West. Nope. They're the favorites in the East. Then, my favorite team, the Lakers, made a huge splash, and they ended up getting Andre Drummond from the buyout market. Drummond is the best rebounder in the entirety of basketball. He's made two All-Star teams. He's only 27. He's had seasons where most seasons he's averaging 15 to 16 rebounds a game. So we know Anthony Davis prefers to play power forward when he comes back. Good. Anthony Davis will be playing power forward when he comes back. Then now you have a real like presence inside. Marc Gasol is a finesse type of big man at this point in his career. Andre Drummond is a true center. He's going to go down there, get some rebounds, get some putbacks, get offensive rebounds, set big screens. Love him for the Lakers. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. And that's what the Lakers needed. They were missing Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee from last year. And they're reeling right now without LeBron and AD. So hopefully he can help them. Obviously, it's going to be weird because he played on the Pistons and the Cavs. So he's like, oh, I'm pleased to play on a bad team. And he's going to go into a bad team right now. Without LeBron and AD, the Lakers are not a good team. But when LeBron and AD get back, they put themselves in a very good position to make it out of that West again and repeat. So I can't say enough good things about that. Hopefully he can keep his field goal percentage high. For a big man, it's really low, 57%. But I think now that you're playing with one of the greatest passers of all time, that should definitely help. But yeah, the trade deadline in the NBA was absolutely a joy to watch. Like, when you have Twitter up, you're just watching Woj and Sham like tweet out stuff. I'm running through my thought process of like, how is this going to affect everything? I love the NBA. It's going to make these last couple months amazing to watch now that there's really just new pieces everywhere. And the playoffs are going to be an absolute blast. I'll be sure to cover it every week. We'll definitely be talking about everything. So yeah, leave your reviews. We can wrap this up by talking about why Kyle Lowry didn't get traded. So the Heat and the Lakers were the two big contenders that came out. The pieces that they didn't want to move, the Raptors wanted Talen Horton-Tucker from the Lakers, and apparently they didn't want that. I probably would have made the deal, let's be honest here. As a Laker fan, I love Talen Horton-Tucker. I mean, obviously drafted player. But Kyle Lowry and Andre Drummond in a span of 2 days would have been amazing, and I really think that we might need that to beat the Nets. So I probably would have given him Talen Horton-Tucker, but it probably would have been more first-round picks that we don't have. So, you know, not the smartest, not the best thing in the world. So I'm okay without Kyle Lowry. And then for the Heat, the Raptors wanted Tyler Hero. I probably would have kept Tyler Hero. I think Tyler Hero is a lot better than Talen Horton-Tucker, obviously. And he probably has a higher ceiling. Probably. I hope this doesn't get clipped like 5 years from now. But I wouldn't have done it for Kyle Lowry, especially if they're asking for more. Like, maybe, yeah, Hero for Lowry straight up, yeah, for sure. But I already know that the Raptors have been asking for more. So I understand why Kyle Lowry stayed. He has another year on his contract. Maybe in the offseason he gets moved. But he is the greatest Raptor of all time. So it's nice to see him stay. He might just end up being a Raptor for life. And then, obviously, March Madness is going to continue this week. The Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. We'll talk about that next week for sure. I might have a March Madness finale special, Final Four special that we're going to go through. But thank you for listening to episode 20 of the Half Court Podcast. I had a really good time recording it. On Apple Podcasts, 5-star review, Spotify, comment, review, whatever you need to do, whatever platform you're listening to. Share it with your friends. Share it with people that enjoy basketball. Means the world to see new listeners. I appreciate all the support from everybody. Thank you.